The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:10pm with Mick Norton, John Budden and Mark Slater in the studio. Two meetings to look forward to. We have Jumps Racing from Taunton, and there's all-weather action on the Fibre Sand at Southwell. No Lingfield though, that unfortunately abandoned due to a waterlogged course, but still two meetings to look at. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
Hello, Mark. I'm in very good shape, dashing between Carlisle and Leeds, but here we are.
Yes, you've been a busy man then, John?
I'm busy, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Good. It's good to be busy, as they say.
It is very good to be busy, yes. I'm delighted to be here. Listeners may well decide that 3 or 4 days is quite enough for a while.
I don't know about that, John. Yes, and a busy day in the busy weekend, sorry, in the racing world as well. And we're going to look at the Monday Jory, which features a lot of the horses that ran this weekend. But before we get to that, John, I just want to talk about the Irish Champion Hurdle on Sunday, because what a race that was. And Hurricane Fly just holding off the challenge of Our Connor to land a record equaling fourth Irish Champion Hurdle, a 19th Grade One. The question that everyone asks after that is, can he do it at Cheltenham in March, John?
I see no reason why I shouldn't, actually, Mark. None whatsoever. He's not been a horse that I've basically backed, but he's a marvellous animal. I mean, to win 19 grade ones, however, some of them may be in a little bit small fields and so on, it's a remarkable record and a tremendous training performance by Willie Mullins to keep the horse at the peak for such a long time. I thought he was splendid in the Irish Champion, but Mick Norton made, I think, a very valid point. They allowed Hurricane Fly to travel very happily within his comfort zone, as Mick pointed out, throughout the race. Now, Our Connor was going extremely well, and I just feel that Danny Mullins might have got a little bit after Hurricane Fly earlier. Mick pointed out that in the Triumph Hurdle, of course, you know, he routed his rivals by an aggressive ride from Brian Cooper from the top of the hill, and there was no question that he was stopping. He was going away. And the Silver Fox suggested that if Danny Mullins had perhaps put a bit of pressure on Hurricane Fly earlier, rather than making his headway very sharpishly just between the last two flights, it might have been different. I'm not sure, but it is an interesting question.
It is. It's an interesting point, and it will be interesting with a greater pace at Cheltenham if that were to be the case come March. But we won't talk about that too much now, John, because it features in the Monday Jory. So we'll move on to that when we get there. Anything else caught your eye before we get stuck into the Monday Jory?
Well, quite a number of things caught my eye over the weekend, yes. I was with Felix Younger yesterday, and I do feel that horse, if he comes to Cheltenham, will still, whatever he runs in, be worthwhile noting. He was beaten yesterday, but the ground was really pretty dreadful, and I don't think it suited him. I think on better ground, he's still very much a player.
Yep, I'd agree with that, John. Let's do the Monday Jury then. Let's get stuck into the questions featured in the Racing Post, the first of which surrounds the World Hurdle. We obviously saw Big Bucks return to the racecourse in the Cleve Hurdle. It wasn't a winning return. So the question is, John, did the World Hurdle picture become clearer or murkier after the weekend?
Murkier? Without a shadow of doubt, I think, Mark. The one thing which is absolutely certain, it's going to be the most open of the World Hurdles in which Big Bucks has been running. Because I thought he ran very well on Saturday in the Cleve Hurdle, and he found himself in front an awful long way out. I wouldn't blame Sam Tristan Davis at all on that score, because he'd obviously been told to ride a positive race, and it was just the fact that the leaders fell away, so he basically had to commit for home. I thought he ran exceptionally well. He was only beaten just about three quarters of a length, and if he can improve upon that, he's obviously going to be a major player. But Is he going to be the dominant force that he was? I think that's still very much open to question. We saw Annie Power win bloodless victory out of Doncaster. Didn't beat anything, really, particularly with Cockney Sparrow falling two out, although the mare wasn't going particularly well at the time. So we didn't learn a great deal from that about Annie Power. I would have thought, if she was mine, which would be a lovely thought, I would go for the world hurdle myself, because I think there's a big chance. She certainly stays, and she's in great form. So there's Annie Power, but still murky. I tell you who I thought ran so badly at Cheltenham, which actually is rather a key point, and that is Rev de Savola. Mm. Now, I think he sulked myself. I think he sulked because Nakara Bow, was determined to get to the front early. He wasn't able to do so. I also feel that that led quite a long way to Sam Twist and Davies having to be in front a long way out. One would have assumed they'd talked about the race beforehand, and most people would have thought, Rev de Savola will be out there in front, trying to make it all wonderful conditions for him, excellent shape, loves to go out in front, likes Cheltenham. Yep. We'll just sit behind Rev de Savola and try and beat him for pace on the home turn. He ran no sort of a race, which makes the situation even murkier.
Yes. The good thing about it is anybody who thinks that that was a perfectly satisfactory return for Big Bucks, they can have 7-4 about him for the World Hurdle, which you wouldn't have got had he won. Annie Power's also in there at 7-2. If she turns up in the race, then she might shorten more than that before the big day. More of that 5-1. Quivega 6-1 at Fisher's Cross 7s, and then 12-1 our bigger prices of rest.
Yeah, I should have mentioned at Fisher's Cross. I did think Fisher's Cross ran a very, very good race in the Cleve Hurdle.
More like it, wasn't it?
Very much more like it, considering that Rebecca Curtis had been badly out of form. The horse himself had had a miserable pre-run before Christmas, or pre-runs before Christmas. I thought at Fisher's Cross ran exceptionally well at Cheltenham, and he is a horse who likes Cheltenham, and he likes good ground. So, he comes into the picture again. Wide open, it has to be.
Yeah. Of the ones in the World Hurdle, barring Annie Power, of course, the ones that we've seen in the race before, the likes of Big Bucks and Rev de Civil and everything, at Fisher's Cross performance suggests that he still is the one that's most progressive and could improve come March. In the World Hurdle, so that was encouraging, wasn't it, for him?
Yes, I'd agree with that, Mark. At this moment, assuming the ground is going to dry out a little bit for the festival, and he remains in good shape, at Fisher's Cross strikes me as being, perfectly sound value for the World Hurdle at the moment.
OK, so a murkier picture for you then, John?
Definitely a murkier picture.
Mm. OK, the second question, what do you make of the Champion Hurdle after events in Ireland and Britain? We have betting for that as well, and Hurricane Fly and the new one, 3-1 joint favourites. My 10 to yours is 4-1. Our Connor 5s, 8-1 for Annie Power and Jeski, and then 12-1 or bigger. Well, that's the underscore, the Willie Mullins runner, isn't it? And then 25-1 or bigger prices. The rest, what do you make of it, John? Because Hurricane Fly refusing to lay down to the younger rivals at the moment.
Absolutely right. I think the picture is still very confusing, and basically as it was before the Irish Champion Hurdle. Hurricane Flies obviously remains a force. Connor did very much better in the Irish Champion Hurdle, and if he had perhaps been ridden a little bit more positively by Danny Mullins earlier in the race, conceivably there would have been a different result. It's to me, it remains very much the same situation, and the betting would appear to reflect that. The one outstanding sort of disappointment, and at the moment would have to have a pencil firmly crossed through his name, was Jeske, who I didn't think ran any sort of race at Leopardstown. And it's fair to say Jessica Harrington's team not in very good shape at the moment. But that was a disappointment. I remain myself a follower of My Tent or Yours, who I think is, improving. And looks a much more settled horse this year, has done absolutely nothing wrong, won two of the big pre-Champion Hurdle races, the Fighting Fifth at Newcastle, Christmas Hurdle at Kempton, beat the new one there, I thought perfectly reasonably, and I see no reason why it shouldn't be followed up in a similar way at Cheltenham. And I've always been, as an outsider in the champion hurdle, a supporter of Melodic Rendezvous. People laugh at me. But I see that Ali Whitehouse-Jones, in his Weekender column last week, did emphasise the fact that Melodic Rendezvous was no, you know, complete outsider at 25-1. If it remains soft, he could come into it at a big price. But the answer to the jury question is basically no change. I don't think the Weekend did really anything to certainly make the situation clearer.
Mm. Yeah, and it's a good point when you make there. If it turns out to be a soft ground or heavy ground festival, Melodic Rendezvous at 25-1 would be a bit of value to at least hit the frame, wouldn't it, you'd think so?
Yes, I've had a little, dare I say it quietly, a little each way on the Melodic Rendezvous, hoping that the rain is going to continue to pour down.
There you go. A rare each way bet for Lord Budden then there on Melodic Rendezvous. The third question is, are the Giant Bolster and Nakara Bow capable of making the Gold Cup podium?
No, definitely not.
No.
I can't see that. I mean, loyalty and love for Nakara Bow, it was a fairy tale result in the Cleve hurdle. And he did finish sixth in the Gold Cup 2 years ago. But even George Charlton, that splendidly conditioned trainer, did admit that if someone had asked him before Saturday, was Nakara Bow going to win the Cleve hurdle, he'd have said, dream on, which is an interesting sort of two words, I thought. It was a fairy tale success, and the horse will run well, but he is basically not good enough to get onto the Gold Cup podium. The Giant Bolster, yeah, ran much better. I had put two pencil marks through the Giant Bolster because I thought basically the horse had lost the plot. Clearly, he's got the plot back again. And KP said that he thought he looked extremely well before the race on Saturday. He ran a very decent race. He beat, I thought, a slightly subdued Rocky Creek, who, you know, basically, I never thought was quite enjoying the contest as much as I thought or hoped. The Giant Bolster, I think, will go on possibly to win another decent race, but, you know, he was placed in the Gold Cup a couple of years or 3 years ago. I can't see why this bit older he should go any closer. No, so it would be no to both.
OK. Who do you like the look of for the Racing Post Arkle?
Ah, now this is a major question. It seems to be dominated by Irish chasers at the moment, but they keep beating each other. Mm. I mean, Defy Logic wins one race, then loses the next, and it's the same with a number of their major contenders. I think Champagne Fever is very much a question mark horse in this race. You know, we haven't seen anything like the best of him, I don't think, yet. And were Willie Mullins to go, you know, firmly for the Arkle with Champagne Fever, it would be a major player in my view. But I'm a Dodging Bullets man. I see no reason why Dodging Bullets should not run really well in the Arkle. Dodging Bullets has done nothing wrong in both his outings so far this season, or the last two. Loves Cheltenham, jumps well, and importantly, Mark, stays well. Dodging Bullets is basically a 2 to 2.5 mile horse and could even stay longer. Arkles, in my view, are always won by horses who actually do stay a little bit further than 2 miles. And, unless they're outstanding. And that gives me the impression that Dodging Bullets is in here with a good chance of winning it for the UK.
OK, Dodging Bullets, 6-1 at the moment, second favourite behind Champagne Fever, who's 4-1. Hinterland and Trifolium are both 8s, 9-1 for Rock on Ruby. Felix Younger is 10s, Defy Logic 14s with Valdez, and it's 16-1 or bigger price as the rest.
Valdez ran well,
yeah,
Doncaster, and picked them up well. We'd love it to see Alan King and Chocolate Thornton getting a big race winner. Not completely out of it, Valdez.
No, and the fact that the yard were closed down for a month and he's still come out and won suggests could probably be improvement again. So
yes, absolutely. Mm. It's going to be a real corker, the Arkle.
Yeah.
I'd stick at the moment with Dodging Bullets because I think he's done the job and he likes Cheltenham, but then Hinterland is another definite possibility.
Mm. Okay, then on to the Triumph Hurdle next. Are you in the La Rochet or Ivan Grozny camp, or another?
Well, of the two, I'm in the La Rochet camp. I thought he was very impressive indeed at Cheltenham on Saturday. And it's obviously he likes the course. He likes soft ground. Now, again, here we are in the end of January with the ground heavy or soft everywhere. Will it be the same at Cheltenham in the middle of March? La Roche has shown all his best form on ground with a lot of give. If there is plenty of give underfoot, La Roche is going to be very difficult to beat. But I mentioned in the podcast Friday to Saturday that I did think John Quinn's horse, Pearl Castle, had been mightily impressive at Doncaster. Really, quite a good three-year-old with Andrew Balding, and improved immensely on his Weatherby debut. And, you know, if he gets into the Triumph or is in the Triumph hurdle, I shall certainly just have a few beans on him.
Mm-hmm. 25 to 1 at the moment, John, for Pearl Castle.
Yeah, I think it's a goodish price. I mean, it's worthwhile taking the risk. The Quinn stable love having runners in the Triumph, and they've won it before, as we know, and I shall be cross-examining Quinn Jr. in the studio to see whether there is serious confidence. But you have to say that Pearl Castle ran and won extremely well at Doncaster.
He did. OK, then, the last question of this week's Monday Jury, John, is give us a horse to follow who has caught your eye of late.
Well, I'm going to go away basically from the big names. One thing which struck me about racing at Cheltenham on Saturday was the seemingly volume of support for Tap Knight. I could not understand that, because Tap Knight is a, you know, has been quite a decent horse for Lucinda Russell, the only horse she trains for J.P. McManus and A.P. rides. But Tap Knight had shown virtually nothing for the past year. Certainly his outings this season, I know very few of them. I think a couple of the most have been, you know, disappointing. He ran very poorly in the Cheltenham Andy Stewart Thank You Gold Cup earlier in the winter, but my goodness me, the money poured on. He was 5 to 1 for Saturday's race, and he ran a very sound race, finishing third. So I shall be watching for Tap Knight when he runs again.
Okay, Tap Knight, then, the horse to follow for John. That's the Monday Jury for another week. A great weekend just gone by, and a few more clues as we go along. But we must move on. We must move on to Tuesday's racing, John. And we've you've picked out three races at Southwell, because the weather threatening to get the better of the jumps action. So let's go to Southwell, eh, John?
Yeah, I thought so, because, you know, it could easily be no Taunton. I hope there will be plenty of Taunton, but it's going to be very heavy ground there. Okay. And Southwell got a couple of interesting races, haven't they?
They have.
The 220, for example, the first one we've got to talk about,
yes,
is a sort of a clash of the all-weather giants. I think that possibly is a little bit exaggerated, but certainly titans of the fibre sand and polytrack, and they are, of course, La Estrella and Stand Guard.
Yes.
Now, Pat Hasdam's China Castle holds the current record for all-weather victories with 25, but these two are closing in, and La Estrella's on 24, could level if he wins the 220,
yep,
and Stand Guard's one behind at the moment on 23, so were he to win the race, it will be 24 apiece. Which of the two? Well, they've got top jockeys on both of them, of course. Graham Lee on La Estrella and Tom Quealy on Stand Guard. I'm afraid I have to go with La Estrella, because I think La Estrella absolutely loves Southwell, and he is has a tremendous record on the fibre sand. He has won, of course, on the polytrack, but the fibre sand's very much his area. Stand Guard, of course, is equally sound on the site, this surface, but I think this is La Estrella's course in particular, and Graham Lee appears to love the horse. La Estrella gave Graham his first win back on the UK all-weather circuit, of course, about a fortnight ago. Since won again, Don Cantillon has him in top form. So it's going to be a very intriguing clash, but I will be with La Estrella.
Yeah, I'm just adding up his wins like at Southwell. I think it's I've got to 15 so far. I think he's won 15 of his 16 starts at Southwell.
Yes, I think he just is a Southwell horse, you know, absolutely throughout. And although Stan Guard is perfectly capable of winning on the 5%, his record here is not as outstanding as La Estrella.
Yeah, an interesting little subplot to Tuesday's racing then. La Estrella could equal the all-time record of all-weather wins. So that's in the 220. Onto the 350 next, John. That's the next one you picked out. It's a Class 6 handicap over a mile, and we have 12 of them in the lineup, so we could get a nice little each way shape to the race.
Yes, this is a very competitive race, and you mentioned the class. It's Class 6. Now, that to me has the key to the answer here in this contest. I'm going to go for Dan Durrell, the Julie Camacho runner. Now, if you look carefully at Dan Durrell's form, you will see very much like Southwell, goes well here, enjoys the fibre sand. He's also in decent form at the moment, a winner on the penultimate and third last time out, but that third took place in a Class 5, Mark. Yep. And I think I'm right in saying that if you follow the stats carefully, Dan Durrell finds Class 5, and for that matter, Class 4, were he to go into Class 4, just too much for him. He is par excellence a Class 6 horse. He's back here over a mile at Class 6, and I thought his third behind Peter's Friend and Royal Holiday in Class 5 last time up was a perfectly sound effort, was not beaten far. So he's going to be the selection, definitely Dan Durrell, for this 350.
Okay.
But, you know, there are obviously others who go close. Victoria Number is in pretty good shape. He likes the fibre sand, and I think the big danger is... Am Tired or Anti-Tired. How do you pronounce this?
Yeah, I'm Tired, I think.
Yes, Am Tired. Used to be with Brian Ellison, now with Marjorie Fife, has got Danny Tudhope in the saddle. Now, that's a desperate danger. Sends shivers down the spine, it does, having gone for Dan Durrell. I think Am Tired, who ran a very sound second last time out, is right at the bottom of the handicap. Major player, big danger, but I'm going to go for Dan Durrell.
Okay. What do you make of Queen of Skies, John?
Yeah, well, a bit like Victoria Number and several others, has got very sound claims, likes the course, well handicapped, and this is a very, very competitive race, and could easily get into the frame, if not win. I don't want to be too sort of adamant about the result of this race, but I've gone for Dan Durrell mainly because I think Julie Camacho's horse is A, in good form, and B, back in Class 6.
OK. Dan Durrell then in the 350, and the final race we're going to look at is the final race on the card at Southwell. It's the 420, which is a Class 6 handicap over 7 furlongs, and Stun Gun will probably be of interest to a few here. John won its maiden 30 days ago over this course and distance, and steps into handicap company for the first time here.
Yeah, it's got a good chance, hasn't it, Stun Gun? Also representing Derek Shaw, who's got his horses in very good shape this winter. They're running well at all sorts of all weather venues. 7 furlongs, undoubtedly about the right trip for Stun Gun. Could easily make a handicap victory here. There are quite a number of other Southwell, not specialists, but horses who go well on the fibre sand. Beechwood Boy for Joe Hughes is another. Likes the place. Ran a reasonably sound fourth on the last occasion. Could easily improve just a little bit from that. And there are a couple of others that I like. Boom to Bust has got form, but not, so to speak, at Southwell, and was only a poorish second or third last time out in a modest contest. Barry Brennan trains, but he's got Luke Morris in the saddle. And Luke Morris, you know, can bring off, well, near miracles. He's a jockey I really do follow, together with Adam Kirby, of course, on the all-weather, but he's doing very well. I'm going to go, though, for George Benjamin here. Not a great follower of Ali Rawlinson, but nevertheless, quite good value for £7. Represents Michael Appleby. And two outings ago, I thought ran a pretty sound race, certainly good enough to win this, Mark. Was third to Basingstoke and Victorian Number. And were Victorian Number to go well in the 350, it will be a form advertisement for George Benjamin in this. And then a slightly more competitive race, the time, most recent time, sixth, Andrew Mullen rode then. Possibly Michael Appleby considers the horses a bit too high in the handicap, so Ali Rawlinson, £7, will come in useful. Very, very tricky race, but I'll have a small on George Benjamin.
Okay, George Benjamin then. In the 420, let's just have a summary of all three of your selections together then, Johnny, if you'll spin us through them one more time.
Well, I'm going to go for La Estrella in the 220 to level the all-weather tally with China Castle, at 25 wins apiece. Then in the 350, I'm very worried about Am Tired, but I'm going for Dan Durrell and Julie Camacho because that horse is back to the last six. And in a very competitive at the level 420, Michael Appleby and George Benjamin.
Okay, good stuff. John, thank you very much. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you very much, Mark. I will.
So there you go. The thoughts of Lord Budden on Tuesday's racing. Then you'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:10 p.m. with Mick Norton, Mark Slater and John Budden in the studio. We have Taunton and Southwell to look forward to. So two meetings to go on Tuesday. Tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.